I just had a patient last week, young, super slim, enormous breasts, and the GP that she saw said, you just need to lose weight. And I've also seen teenage girls that have had eating disorders because of a comment like that. If someone has breasts that are out of proportion to their frame, weight loss is not going to do a single thing to those. It's just barbaric and totally cruel to be giving that advice.
Hey ReFam, my name's Kate and welcome back to Keeping It Real, the podcast that's no stranger to delaying things as long as possible. Today, I'm joined by Kim and Richard to chat about the psychology of postponing surgery. There are plenty of reasons people delay their surgeries, from deep-seated anxieties to unexpected pregnancies. Today, we discuss the most common reasons and why sometimes the surgeons will take it out of your hands and delay surgery on your behalf. Obviously, surgery is a massive decision. We've got quite a few fail-safes as a way to prevent people being pressured or feeling rushed into surgery, but we do have people postpone surgery, and I kind of just wanted to unpack the reasons behind that, or you know, how often it happens for as well, just for the general public, so if they're kind of going through it, they can not feel so alone. I think it's probably safe to say they go into either psychological reasons, financial reasons, or just like a general access issue, you know, if they can get the time off work or they have life. A support system. Yeah. So I'll start with psychological. Do you have examples of like patients you've seen that maybe have kind of specific fears or anxieties that lead more commonly to them postponing surgery?
Yeah, I've got one lady that I distinctly remember from probably 6 or 7 years ago, and she'd seen me for about 3 or 4 pre-surgery consultations. So when they're coming in and sort of it's almost like this lady in particular was kind of talking herself out of having, she's, I really want to have it, but my sister is going to comment, or they're coming up with reasons why not to. And I'm always like, look, there is no way we are pushing you into this. If you want the surgery, she was perfectly suitable, and we weren't doing anything, planning anything crazy. Not that I would ever plan anything crazy, but and then she actually paid a deposit. She might have even paid her full fee, and then it just got to about 2 weeks beforehand, and the multiple emails that she was sending in, and really just going over and over very simple things that it had been covered multiple times before. And it wasn't that she was particularly worried about the actual surgery itself. And in the end, I actually just said to her, look, you are clearly not ready to have the surgery. So it was, she was almost like wanting us to pull the pin on her rather than her, but clearly she was not confident in her own decision-making ability as well.
Do you think there's things that people are anxious about quite often that you hear about?
Often the anaesthetic stuff, yeah. And Richard, I know, said this on a podcast we did quite recently. It was, I'm afraid of dying from the surgery. And that's something that's not uncommon that we hear.
It's uncommon that it happens.
Yes. It's uncommon. It's common that we hear it.
Very uncommon. I think we could both say I've never seen it.
No. Mm. And it is something that is reasonably easy to talk someone through once you understand what their actual anxiety is about. And one of the anaesthetists that both of us work with, I got a phrase off him. When we always go to see our patients before surgery, on the day of surgery, and to mark them up, but also to answer any last minute questions. And they're usually nervous, excited. But if someone's like super, super nervous, I found it's actually really useful for them to say, what is it in particular that you're actually nervous about? Because if they can then sort of think, well, actually there's nothing specific, or if they could say, I'm afraid of dying under the anaesthetic, or I'm afraid of not waking up, or it's very rarely, because our informed consent is so great, they're not, I'm afraid of the scar that I'm going to get, I'm afraid of the outcome, would be very rare at that point.
I don't think the psychological reasons come up later commonly. Mm. I think generally they'd be red flags that we would pick up in the initial consultation.
What about, you kind of touched on that societal pressure. What do you think the impacts are for people? You know, like they might be psychologically 100% ready to go, but then once they start to think about, you know, if their support network has a very certain reaction to it, or they're worried about what people at work will think if they have to say why they're taking it off, does that kind of come up in terms of reasons people might delay?
I don't think so much, because if they've gone to the effort of having a consultation and sitting down with us, they've usually dealt with most of those things beforehand. So either they're not telling other people because they don't care about what they might say, or they've had the discussions with family. It's very rare. I did have someone, I think last year, for breast implants, who didn't want anybody to know. Like, we couldn't ring anyone, any of her next of kin.
Oh, to say she was okay.
Yeah, but that's pretty unusual. Most people, they've had the discussion with certainly their next of kin, and often, you know, close friends, work colleagues, things like that.
I sometimes in the first consult get patients saying to me, what do I tell work? And I'm like, well, you don't actually have to tell them anything. You just need to ask for medical leave. And that for a breast augmentation patient, if they don't want too many people to know, I actually advise them to start wearing an extra padded bra for weeks to months beforehand to make it a bit less obvious if they're just trying to disguise a bit. Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are reasonably open about that. The other question I've had mothers asking me about is how do they approach it with their, especially female kids, like their daughters. A vast majority of the work that we do is medically necessary. So I'll just say, look, you know, it's their fault that you've got stretched ab muscles. Maybe not. Obviously, don't phrase it that way. But,
they deserve to know what they've done.
Yeah, you've ruined your mother's body. And so she's now taking the time to return it back to pregnancy. But, you know, it's all how things are phrased. Like if someone came in the other day to talk about breast reduction, and she, every sentence she was putting cosmetic surgery into the sentence. And I'm just like, you just need to be rephrasing how you talking about this. Sure, there are cosmetic surgery procedures that we do which are totally valid and fine, but just because we're plastic surgeons, it doesn't mean like that is the bent on everything.
What do you mean?
Whatever surgery they were having had a negative connotation because it was cosmetic.
Like they were just being like, oh, it's just cosmetic.
Yeah.
And so then they felt like they weren't valid in getting it because
which is a nonsense anyway.
Because I totally agree for whatever reason people are doing things. But that was the narrative that this patient actually had to herself.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I think you need to change the narrative a little bit, because it's totally valid to be having this discussion and be looking at that sort of surgery.
Well, because I think that's very representative of the question I'm asking, right? Like that's a stigma that she's getting from societal expectations that is then – because when I'm saying postponing surgery, I don't mean like they're all booked and then they're like, oh, God, I have to go. They might come in for a consult, and then when they're thinking about it, like then they just want to like postpone it or not have it, push it to the side because of these factors. That's a great example of them going, okay, well, I know that I want this because, you know, my breasts are heavy, my back hurts, but, oh, it just seems so frivolous and it's silly. Like it's just cosmetic surgery, and how am I going to tell my accountant that I need to get that loan for something as silly as that?
Were you in the room?
But I think that delay comes more before the consultation. Yeah. So people have put off coming to see us rather than – once they've come to see us, I think they've made the decision. But now we have this mandate for a GP referral. We're actually seeing GPs discourage patients from having surgery that they would benefit from, whether that be emotionally, physically, socially, or whatever other reasons, which are all well shown in studies that are benefits from these surgeries. But GPs are putting their own lens on this surgery and aren't discouraging patients from going ahead, which I'd love to say was an unintended consequence of the guidelines, but I think it was an absolute intended consequence to reduce the availability of this sort of surgery, which I think is really unfortunate.
And the misinformation as well is still significant. I just had a patient last week who, young, super slim, enormous breasts, and the GP that she saw said, you just need to lose weight. And I'm like,
yeah, perfect example. Like, shocking.
And I've also seen teenage girls that have had eating disorders because of a comment like that when they were of a normal weight.
Yeah.
Like anyone listening or watching, if someone has breasts that are out of proportion to their frame, weight loss is not going to do a single thing to those. Like, it's just barbaric and totally cruel to be giving that advice, whether it's from a medical professional or from friends and family.
Mm. Well, I had a patient not that long ago who had post-traumatic stress disorder, had a body dysmorphia to an actual like loose skin on their abdomen, and their psychologist recommended to them to come and see me to have the skin removed because they felt that would actually help them emotionally.
Yeah,
in dealing with the
genuine problem.
So this nonsense that, you know, firstly that body dysmorphia is widespread, and secondly that it makes it's a contraindication to surgery is very frustrating.
What about in terms of general access for when people do it? You know, like if they can't take time off work, or now suddenly everyone was like, yeah, we'll absolutely be able to help you, and then no one's there. Are there things as well, lifestyle factors that could force somebody to kind of unexpectedly have to delay their surgery?
I've had two patients this year delay surgery because their main support person had an injury.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, like both husbands had fractured feet. And so different people.
Separately?
Like,
different feet too.
Well, that's, I don't know.
So
I
just, weird.
The first one delayed indefinitely because has been told it's going to take a year that she's going to have to look after her husband. I was like, wait.
When will they stop taking?
So I think the far more common scenario is where patients aren't medically ready for surgery. So today I did a lower body lift on a patient who saw me 6 years ago.
Wow.
As an initial consult. Has been back multiple times. When I saw her, I told her she needed to lose weight and that I wouldn't operate on her until she got to a certain weight. And I saw my notes from 6 years ago and it said, patient wants surgery this year, okay? And I obviously persuaded her that that wasn't a good idea. She needed to lose weight. And just for those of you joining for the first time, the reason is twofold. One, much higher risk of surgery, and secondly, a poorer cosmetic outcome. So anyway, she came back multiple times, still didn't reach her target weight. My position didn't change. I kept saying, need to lose weight. Maybe saw her three times. Eventually she got 5 kilos below the weight I set for her.
Wow.
She was so excited today. It was crazy. Did a lower body lift, removed about 4 kilos of wow, really just skin.
How much weight did she lose?
35 kilos.
Wow.
What about people like falling pregnant? Does that happen somewhat often? Or maybe?
In general? Or
when a mummy and daddy love each other very much.
No, I've definitely had that.
Yeah, same. And I just saw a patient and I was doing a little dog ear revision in the rooms, and she was booked to have it a year ago and was had just fallen pregnant. So I was like, look, just come back whenever you're ready. It's elective surgery.
Are they always like, well, not always, but is it often that it's a complete surprise, or that they've been trying for so long and it's just kind of come along? Or
usually a complete surprise, especially if you're booked.
A complete surprise.
Booked in.
What about, are there any benefits to patients delaying surgery?
If they're not at a target weight, for sure. And we've both had the occasion where we've seen someone for a consultation, say 3-6 months prior to their surgery day, and they rock up on the day and they're a totally different person than the person that we did the initial consultation with. Like if someone's put on weight, like they're a different person than what we did the consult for. So the original surgery that we discussed and booked them for, you need to let us know.
I've cancelled someone in the holding bay. They're in the holding bay. I went to draw on them and I'm looking at them and thinking, I don't think I would have suggested surgery at this point, and looked up what her weight was on admission and what it was when I'd seen her. And sure enough, she'd put on, I can't remember exactly, but maybe 10 kilos.
Yeah, it was significant from memory.
And we had a long chat. bit of an emotional chat, and I said, I think you're better off delaying surgery, which she did.
I also think maybe like patients who are not fully set in what they want, and like, and I think that can come across obviously in the consult if they're giving very conflicting needs or desires or whatever. And I don't think that's necessarily our demographic, but we've heard many, many stories from other places where they might feel like rushed or pressured into doing something they maybe weren't actually thinking of when they were coming out of that consult. And if it's like they can take that time to just be like, I don't know if that's actually what I want.
Mm. Oh, and for sure we see people for second or third consults that have seen other people that get kind of sign up and pay on the day kind of things.
Yeah, and just trusting their gut. They're like, I don't know if this is right. Mm. I'm gonna go talk to someone else, make sure. What about, do you have any examples of patients who did put off having surgery for a really long time and kind of regretted it when it came to them having the surgery?
I think every single breast reduction patient falls into that category pretty much. The most common thing we would hear after a breast reduction is, I wish I would have done this sooner. So, and, you know, the delay can be for various reasons. You know, having a family, finances, you know, other life issues. We have talked about, you know, where pregnancy fits in terms of delaying surgery. But, you know, unless you're actively trying to get pregnant, I don't think it's a great reason to delay the surgery. The only two potential downsides. One is it may reduce your ability to breastfeed, and secondly, it may impact the final result. But a lot of those women can't breastfeed anyway, and you're not going to go back to where it was, so you might need a minor revision. Yeah, I mean, I think breast reduction is the classic one.
Yeah, definitely. Even when I was speaking to one of our patients, and when she had it very young, well, not very young, but like in her 20s, 30s, and then her mum was like, oh, she's like, I didn't know that was an option.
Mm. Yeah, common.
Not uncommon to see the mum like in their 50s, 60s come in after their daughter has. The patient that I just did the touch up on last week who had the pregnancy in the last year, after she'd had her breast reduction done, she said she totally doesn't regret having it done. She couldn't breastfeed. She tried and she was indifferent, and she knew that beforehand. She was pushed a bit more to keep trying by the lactation consultant than she actually wanted to. And she admitted that she had put on a bit of weight and she's still trying to get that off. And she said, the result is still, the same as it was before. I'm slightly bigger, but my whole body's a bit bigger, and she zero regrets.
Do you think having access to healthcare information, like this podcast, videos, like being able to answer those things can minimize those instances of postponement and delaying because they're kind of going in armed with more knowledge?
I mean, I can speak to pre-social media and even an intermediate social media practice, and then a practice which is does a lot of social media, a lot of education. Without doubt, patients who come and see us now are better informed, understand the options better, understand their expectations better, know the criteria to be ready for surgery better compared to when I started practice. Advent of this GP referral seems to, if anything, made that worse. I've now gone back to getting some referrals for weight loss for the recommendation of liposuction, which is disappointing because we kind of eliminated that. Without doubt, like being able to communicate responsibly on social media, which we do, and we're very committed to that, has had a huge impact on, you know, patient expectations, patient satisfaction, and definitely their education. So hopefully we can keep doing it.
For people who are, you know, who have like any of those kind of concerns that are really eating away at them and making them really nervous to kind of book and commit to surgery, do you have advice for them?
Inform yourself, like spend time on our website looking at the information, looking at the pre and post op photos on Instagram, watch the videos. There's so much information that, as Richard said, it's pretty uncommon for someone to come in and be like, I don't like my breasts, I don't know what I want to have done. They can at least articulate what they don't like and what expectations they're after generally. So
I mean, there are so many examples. So take breast reduction. Patients come in, they know a technique we do. They say, I want a WISE with the anchor incision. I don't want any breast tissue on my chest. Breast implant patients come in telling us what sort of implants they want. They want a dual plane, they want an internal bra, they do or don't want fat grafting. Tummy tuck patients come in and say, look, I think I probably need a body lift. Like, that's wild compared to 10 years ago. Like, no, nobody came in and did that.
I've got a separation, but I don't think it's quite wide enough. Like, I've had that even. Who knew that even 5 years ago?
If you liked this episode of Keeping It Real, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, why don't you have a flick through our past episodes? We'd love to hear your requests for future topics, so send your suggestions through to us on IG at Replastic Surgery. That's all for today, and we'll catch you next time for another peek into the world of plastic surgery.